Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our scripture reading is the story of Jonah. I am living in this one, Bible stories every child should know. And so the words today are actually the words that I will be reading, so you can follow along. But if you have interest in reading from the Bible, you're welcome to use the Pew Bible, page 1121, but know that they will be different than what I will be reading aloud. So hear now this story. It's called Jonah and the Giant Fish. Long ago, Nineveh was one of the greatest cities in the world, but it was also a very wicked city. One day, God said to the prophet Jonah, "Go to Nineveh, tell the people that I am going to punish them because of their sins." But Jonah didn't want to go. Instead, he ran away to Joppa, a city by the sea, and there he found a ship headed in the opposite direction from Nineveh. So Jonah bought a ticket and got on board to try to get away from God. After the ship sailed out to sea, the Lord sent a strong wind. The ship was in danger of sinking, but Jonah had gone to sleep at the bottom of the ship. The captain found him and woke him up. "How can you sleep like this?" the captain shouted. "Get up and pray to your God, because your God will help us so we won't die." Then the sailors said to one another, "This storm has been sent because someone on the ship has done something wrong. Let's draw straws to find out who it is." And they did. And Jonah drew the short one. So they said to him, "Tell us, what wicked thing have you done? What country do you come from?" So Jonah replied, "I am from Israel, and I am running away from the God who made the sea and the land." Then the men were afraid and asked, "What should we do so that the storm will stop?" And Jonah told them, "If you throw me into the sea, it will become still again. I know that the storm is my fault." And the sailors didn't want to do it, but they knew that they had to. And as soon as they threw Jonah into the water, the wind stopped and the sea was still. And the men were amazed, and they worshiped God and promised to obey him. And the Lord sent a huge fish to swallow Jonah as soon as he was thrown into the water. And Jonah stayed alive in the fish how many days and how many nights? And he told God he was sorry about his sin. And God heard his prayer and told the fish to spit him out onto the shore. Then God spoke to Jonah a second time. "Go to Nineveh," God said, "and give the people there my message." So Jonah went to Nineveh. There he shouted out God's message. "In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed because of the sins of its people." And when the king of Nineveh and his people heard this, they believed God had sent Jonah, and they believed what he had said would come true, and they stopped doing things that were wrong and started praying to God. God knew that the people were sorry, so God did not destroy the city after all. Now Jonah was very angry about this, because the people of Nineveh were enemies of Israel. Jonah was also afraid that people would laugh at him and say he didn't know what he was talking about. So he said to the Lord, "I knew you weren't going to destroy the city. That's why I ran away. Now I would rather die than live." And Jonah went to a place outside the city and waited to see if God would destroy it. That night, the Lord caused a vine to grow And the next day, its thick leaves shaded Jonah's head from the hot sun, and he was very glad it was there. But soon God sent a worm that ate through the stem, and the vine died. And then God sent a hot wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah. And Jonah grew tired and sick from the heat, and again he became angry. Then God said, "You are angry because I have destroyed the vine, but you want me to destroy Nineveh? That's a city with more than 120,000 people who don't know the right way to live. Shouldn't I care about them?" So God taught Jonah how wrong he was to wish that Nineveh would be destroyed. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, on this Sunday, as we hear the story of Jonah and the giant fish, it can tell us so much about you and about ourselves. So allow us to have the Spirit move within us that we may hear what you would have us hear this day, that it may move us closer into what you ask us to be, reflections of your love and grace. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And all God's people said, amen. So when we hear the story of Jonah, we often focus in on Jonah and the giant fish. Or most of the time we call Jonah and the whale, right? Because that's how we imagine a giant fish, right? And we know that something leads to Jonah being in the water. He ends up in the whale, and then he comes out of the whale, and then he goes and he does what God asked of him, right? So we tend to focus in on that small part of the entire narrative. It's important for us to understand three questions when we come to this text. What does it teach us about God? What does it teach us about ourselves? And what does it teach us about the relationship between God and us? Right? So when we come to that, it really reflects on that. And Pastor Amy has already given you a clue as to what we're going to consider within the richness of the story, and that is the word feelings. I would be curious what feelings you all have had already today, and it's only 10:30 a.m. Right? Was there some of that I don't want to get out of bed feeling this morning? Was that I went to go get my coffee and maybe I ran out of creamer or sweetener, or I ran out of coffee altogether, or maybe my tea wasn't getting hot enough? Or maybe what I wanted to have for breakfast, I made that piece of toast and it turned out either too light or too dark. Yeah, exactly. Right? And so we have that feeling, or then maybe we were feeling rushed because we were like, oh, we got to get to church and I need to get a shower and I need to get ready and I need to get dressed and then I'm going to get there. Or maybe for you, you're like, and I know that we have some, it's like, what is that crazy pastor going to do today? Like this kind of anticipation, right? Of like, not sure she's going to be weird today, but we're going to have to show up to find out, right? So like this anticipation of that. Or maybe you're not even thinking about this morning, but you're already worrying about the rest of the week, right? Maybe you have lunch plans or dinner plans, or you're not sure what the week is going to look like. But I probably would guess that y'all have had a wide range of emotions already today. Can I get an amen? Amen. And those emotions make up who we are, right? And so Pastor Amy talked about Inside Out. This week on, actually the 4th of July, I went and I saw Inside Out 2. So Inside Out, without giving too much away, the first movie focuses on five core emotions: joy, sadness, anger, disgust, and fear. That those tend to be the ones that kind of shape us when we are small children, right? Beginning to experience the world. But those emotions begin to develop our core beliefs, the systems that we hold into our adult life, and that's where Inside Out 2 comes into play. Because our sweet lead character hits that wonderful time of life called puberty, where everything that might have been calm and normal to that moment, oh my goodness, things go off the rails very fast. Am I right? Yes. So with that change in life, that's when new emotions are introduced into the narrative. Anxiety. Apathy. Embarrassment. And envy. Now these are definitely nuanced emotions. And if we're familiar with body processes, we know that they can tend to be very big emotions and overwhelming. And they can take over how we feel with things. And certainly in this case, she has to go through and those emotions have to work themselves out. And what we tell ourselves, our core beliefs and the systems that we hold, we have to take both the good parts and the hard parts of our lives to get the fullness of who God creates us to be. So here we have the prophet Jonah. And if we are familiar with what a prophet does, a prophet speaks on behalf of God, right? That God speaks to the prophet and the prophet is to relay that message in whatever way or in whatever location God asks. However, a prophet can also speak to God on behalf of the people. Now, we have seen that in some of our other prophetic stories where they're like, well, what if we find good people there, God? And then God promises not to destroy, right? So God is in relationship with Jonah. We don't know how long Jonah's been a prophet. We just know that God has given Jonah a very specific task, a very hard message to deliver, and basically says, go to Nineveh and tell them that they are wicked people, and I'm going to destroy them. I don't know about you, but that does not hold to how I understand the nature of God, right? That is a hard message to hold on to. And Jonah, whatever it might have been, knew that he didn't want to be the one to have to relay that message, right? Are y'all ever the bearer of difficult news to people and you get all anxious about having to share that or set boundaries or whatever that is, and we tend to shy away from that because of discomfort? Yeah. What did Jonah do? Jonah went the opposite direction. Went so far away from where God wanted Jonah to go that Jonah got on a boat and ended up in the middle of the storm that wreaked havoc for the crew of that boat, right? So sit here and think a minute. What feelings did Jonah experience right there in that part of the story? Come on, this is participatory, tell me. Fear? What else? You think he was excited? Anxiety, yes, absolutely. Anxiety. Disgust, yeah. Anger, absolutely. And combine all of that in, and then you have just this really big storm of emotion, right? All of those things moving around in Jonah, and he gets on the boat, and he's so overwhelmed by what he's experiencing that he goes to the bottom of the boat and goes to sleep. How many of you try to shut off your feelings in the day-to-day? Do y'all ever try to numb them? Yeah. Some of our coping mechanisms are good, and some of them are just not. And so he's in there, and the people around him are dealing with the consequences of what Jonah is choosing to do based on his emotions, right? The wind is stormy, the seas are blowing, and they're like, what in the world is going on? What has brought us to this place? We checked the weather forecast. There were not supposed to be any storms, right? How many of you got caught off guard by the storms that rolled through yesterday? I know I did, right? And so they're like, we're trying to figure out, well, what exactly is that? And so they find out that it's actually him. And what's interesting is that he says, to solve this, you need to throw me overboard and it'll stop. That you need to deal with me so that you can return to a sense of normal. So they do. And the storm and the seas still. So one, in that instance, Jonah recognizes the choices that he made were not the best ones. That he was not following the instructions given to him by God. And others had to deal with the consequences of his choices. And then God protected Jonah. Provided means for Jonah to really sit with all that he was feeling. Enveloped him in the belly of a fish, a giant whale of protection. And when we say 3 days and three nights, what does that remind you of? The resurrection, right? That all that Jesus went through and suffered, he was entombed in that quiet space and was resurrected from that, bringing new life afterwards, right? So Jonah wrestles with his feelings, and then he's like, okay, well, I'll actually go do what God wants. And he does. And what do the people do? They actually listen. And they believe him. And they repent and they turn of their wicked ways and they choose to worship this God. The crew on the boat recognized the awesomeness of God and worshiped God. And then people in Nineveh stopped what they were doing and they worshiped God. And how did Jonah react? He got what? He got mad. In my mind, I'm like, are you kidding me? Have y'all ever had that reaction? Or is it just me? Right? Be like, I knew this was going to happen and you did it and you sent me here anyway. And he goes off and he pouts. He is still wrestling with these big emotions that he has, right? And God protects Jonah again. Protects Jonah again. And after that, they have a conversation, and they really kind of have to work through all the things that Jonah felt. The actions of that and be like, you know, I told you to go do this. And then when they repented, you got angry. But do you really think it would have been fair for me to destroy all of these beautiful people? No. And would God have wanted to destroy Jonah? Because we know from the story that God protected Jonah how many times? Twice. So what does this have to do with feelings? Here's the truth. We are human. We feel things. We feel things a lot. And sometimes those feelings make sense. And as Pastor Amy said, sometimes those feelings don't make sense. But what I do know about the world is that the world often has unrealistic expectations of how you express and show your feelings. The world will say, well, you've got it great. You should be happy, without recognizing the situation that you might be living in. I cannot tell you how many times I, as a female person, have been told, you just need to smile more. as an indication of being pleasant, because that's the societal expectation of being a woman, that I should smile and be kind. And oh my goodness, if I show any other emotion of anger or disgust, I am called lots of things. Do I speak truth? But there are truths for our guys as well. Because if you show any emotion, the world is going to tell you that you are weak, that you're not man enough, that you don't have the strength or the courage to just stand strong. And if you are a man who shows feelings or are sensitive or empathetic to other people, the world's going to tell you there must be something wrong with you. We live in a society where we are shame-based. Are y'all aware of this? That we are shame-based, which means that that is a call to live in fear and anxiety. It is not a place that God calls us to live. God calls us to live in a place of love and grace. So our feelings matter because our humanity matters. Who we are and who we were created to be matters. Because God loves us and loves us enough not to leave us where we are. So I went and I saw Inside Out 2 and I cried. I cried. And I'm not ashamed to say that. Because it meant that it spoke to those places in my soul, in my spirit, of the wounds of the world that God wants to redeem, to allow grace to work in and through, that I could be made whole. I have no doubt that each and every one of you have experienced things in your lifetime that have probably made you want to just curl up into a ball or rage at the world. And I'm here to tell you, God still sees that. And God will stand alongside of you and work through that. Why? Because God is a God of love. First and foremost, and God does not want to cause harm to you. God wants you to be fully who you were intended to be and to grow in grace. That you will live differently in the world. What does this tell us about ourselves? Friends, we don't have all the answers. We have a lot of work to do in our own lives, our healing, our life of journey, our faith, our community together. And you are obviously seeking some of that, or you wouldn't be here today. Because there is something about being in the presence of God that it brings that to your life that you cannot get out in the world. And what does that tell us about God and us? God's not done with us yet. And when we turn and run the other way, God is still there. God will always be there, ready to welcome us and embrace us and to care for us. So feelings matter. If you ever need to, take a moment, take a deep breath, check in with yourselves, right? If you feel like you need someone to talk to, therapy is great. I'm a big proponent. But find a trusted person to talk through. Do not walk this life alone, because we are called to live this life together, bound together by the love of God and by God's grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.